like we got a lot of different things coming at you today, okay? And I'm just sensing a little bit of a lull right now. That. You don't got time for that, right? Let's go. Break it. Let it cross. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Springer on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome in to Rock Chalk Sports Talk. I'm Nick Springer. You're listening on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We have a very abbreviated Rock Chalk Sports Talk for today. If you were listening in earlier to Kansas baseball right here on KLWN with KU taking on BYU with Gus Bailo and Brian Haney on the call out in Provo. BYU falls against Kansas. KU, they get the series win. They beat BYU yesterday afternoon, which you could have heard that game right here on KLWN as well. 11-1 and a win this afternoon just earlier, 4-2 for KU over BYU. So they've already secured themselves a series win against BYU, and they'll be taking on BYU again coming up as part of a doubleheader later this afternoon. You'll be able to hear that game if you do want to hear that second game for KU on the Kansas Jayhawks app or on kathletics.com, as we're going to be switching over here pretty soon on KLWN to coverage of the NCAA tournament on Westwood One coming up at 5 o'clock. So just only about an hour of RCST here today on this Friday before we switch over to that Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament coming up at 5 o'clock. And again, if you are wanting to hear game two of the doubleheader for KU baseball, you can head over to KUathletics.com and also on the Kansas Jayhawks app for coverage of that game with Gus Bailo and Brian Haney on the call for that one. As you could have heard that for the first game right here on KLWN, in which Kansas got a big win 4-2. It sounds like maybe they might have had a SportsCenter top 10 play in the ninth inning there to help secure the win over BYU. RCST, as always, is brought to you by 23rd Street Brewery. So on this abbreviated show today, we got some KU basketball talk, KU football talk as well. Might dive a little bit into the NCAA tournament matchups that we saw last night, as well as matchups coming up for tonight. As we know, half the teams in the Elite Eight, the other half coming up later this evening before we get to the Elite Eight this weekend. By the way, you'll be able to hear, of course, the coverage tonight of the Sweet 16 matchups right here on Westwood One on KLWN. And then coming up tomorrow and Sunday, you'll be able to hear the Elite Eight coverage as well of the NCAA tournament right here on KLWN through Westwood One. And of course, originally the series between KU and BYU on the baseball side was scheduled to go yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but they're doing a doubleheader today, so no game tomorrow now on KLWN as they're playing the doubleheader today. So we'll just be diving straight into Westwood One coverage tomorrow for the Elite Eight and then on Sunday as well. So Kansas on the basketball front, continuing to kind of keep an eye on the transfer portal. No real significant news for KU, although they are continuing to be linked to different players that are already in the transfer portal for Kansas. Most notably is a guy that didn't really get to touch on earlier in the week, and that's Riley Kugel, who is a guy that Kansas has been in contact with. He put out a top four, actually, in which Kansas was in his top four along with UConn and Arizona. Although it sounded like maybe that was a sort of a preemptive top four of teams that he was interested in, not so much teams that maybe had completely contacted him. And Kugel is an interesting prospect, I think, as a guy in the transfer portal. He spent two seasons at Florida, originally from Orlando, Florida. He's a 6'5" guard, and he is a player who can be a volume scorer and can be a dynamic player. And in fact, as a freshman in 2022-23, he was getting some NBA chatter, but he struggled a bit this past season for Florida. At one point, he was actually benched and was kind of coming off the bench for Florida this past season in 2023-24. But you go back to his 2022-23 season as a freshman, and he was, as I said, really a guy that could score a lot and score in bunches. He finished the season for Florida as a freshman, scoring in double figures in the last 10 games for Florida. He was very effective, especially. Now, Florida last season went to the NIT. And when you look at what they did in down the stretch at the end of the season in Kugel's freshman year, you look at some of the notable performances. Kugel, he scored 24 against Kentucky back in February of 2023. Scored 20 in the following game after that. In the conference tournament, he put up 14. He was a 38% three-point shooter as a freshman. But again, his numbers dropped in this past season as a sophomore for Florida. And like I said, at one point, he ended up coming off the bench. He scored 11 points in the game against Colorado in the round of 64 for Florida that resulted in a loss on 4 of 8 from the floor. He was just 40% from the floor, and his three-point shooting went way down to just 31%, just over 31%. But again, a guy that can be a volume scorer and a dynamic player. And this past season for Florida, earlier in the year, he was scoring at a high clip in certain games. He actually scored 25 points against Baylor earlier back in November non-conference play. And against Wake Forest had a big game with 24 points as well. So at times he has shown that he can be a dynamic scorer, shown flashes of that. But again, kind of a bumpy season. But he's in the transfer portal. Overall, this past season, he averaged just under 10 points per game on the year for Florida this past season, just around 9.5 points per game. But again, 40% from the floor, just 31% from three. But he's a guy that, again, I think when you look at this KU team, he does, I think, check some boxes for KU from the standpoint of this is a Kansas team that I think certainly without Kevin McCullough down the stretch was in desperate need of somebody who could create something off the dribble and maybe go get a bucket on their own. You know, this was a KU team that was number one in the country in assist rate, which is objectively a good thing, but in a lot of ways it also highlighted the issues that KU had from the standpoint of they didn't necessarily have anybody that late in a shot clock you could get him the ball and he could find a way to go create and score. And Kugel, I think, does fit that box. And I think it's easy to look possibly to the transfer portal and say, well, KU's biggest issue was shooting, so if you're going to go after anybody, they better be shooting, you know, 38% or something like that, or you know, high 30s% from three. Kugel certainly doesn't fit that. He doesn't check that box, but I think he could check some other boxes possibly for KU, and he does fit that mold. You know, I think at this point for KU, you're looking for an off guard that can play with DeJuan or be a backup point guard, depending on what happens with Elmarco Jackson. You're looking for, I don't think Kevin McCullough replacement is a fair statement of what you're looking for, but certainly a wing type, right? And again, you might be looking for multiple of those types of players if a guy like Johnny Furphy is leaving. And then I think for me, you're also looking for another guy, another backup five that can play as a big man as well, that can help rotate in with Floyd Badunga with KJ Adams and Hunter Dickinson as well. That's kind of what I think maybe right now. And again, that is dependent upon what happens with KU in terms of the guys they have on their current roster, which no real significant news there. Is I'm sure throughout this week they may be going through still kind of the exit conversations and exit interviews and whatnot that kind of influence, you know, where they want to go, where the staff maybe sees of their future and maybe what those players think about their future. But Kugel is a guy that seemingly the interest seems to be there possibly for KU as somebody who could come in. And again, I do think have a chance to create off the dribble and to score in those ways. And again, this could be a situation where depending on a decision of an Elmarco Jackson or even a Jamari McDowell, you may end up needing more than one of those types of players, right? Talked about it on into the transfer portal earlier in the week. You know, you still have a guy like a Colby Rogers floating out there. I've really enjoyed Dante Maddox, the transfer from Toledo. It seems like a really quality player. Another player that I was interested in to maybe keep an eye on is AJ Storr from Wisconsin. And he is a player that in his last two seasons at St. John's and when then at Wisconsin has been pretty effective. This year at Wisconsin, he kind of blew up 17 points per game for AJ Storr. And he kind of, I don't really think he did much for Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament as part of the loss. He went 5 of 14 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, and scored 13 points as Wisconsin lost against James Madison. But this is a guy that was a very high-volume scorer, had back-to-back games with 28 points in conference play in the Big 12. or in the Big Ten, excuse me, dropped 30 on Northwestern in the conference tournament, dropped 24 on Illinois in a loss in the conference tournament. He ended up shooting 44% overall from the floor, 32% from three. So again, not a guy that's a real burner from three. But I do wonder, from the standpoint of this coaching staff for KU, is, okay, last season you went out and you got a Nick Timberlake, who, again, at the time was one of the top shooters really that was available in terms of when you look at his numbers, consistent 40%, and he kind of flopped, really, for lack of a better term. So I wonder, from the standpoint of the staff, is it, okay, maybe we should not just go ahead and maybe we should not be just simply chasing guys that are high-percentage three-point shooters and maybe look for guys that can do other things, i.e. creating off the bounce and scoring off the dribble and things like that. AJ Store is another guy that I think probably fits that type of archetype for KU. So it really just kind of comes down to, what is this staff really looking for and what kind of decisions still need to be made for KU in the transfer portal? And again, the transfer portal stays open for another month. You still have teams obviously actively playing, so there's probably going to be more guys that are hitting the portal over the course of the next couple weeks. And this is a KU staff that I think probably is going to be more interested in possibly, you know, playing things a little bit slow and not jumping on the first guy or two that they think might fit their mold, and maybe say, hey, you know, we might want to wait and see if possibly there's an opportunity for us to get a guy that maybe fits even better than what's out there right now. And that's kind of the situation. I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. A lot of stuff of, you know, oh, well, this guy's not in the portal, but he's going to be in, and so people are, you know, teams are talking him and whatnot. So a lot of that stuff really just continues to kind of be up in the air, right, in terms of who's out there, who might be out there, who might not be out there. And again, for Kansas, certainly I think a lot of the discussion for the transfer portal for KU hinges also on what's going to happen with their current roster, right? You've got a lot of guys on your roster. I touched on this, but, you know, in this day and age of college basketball, really every year, every player on your roster has a decision to make, right? Now, obviously, from KU's perspective, you figure guys like DeJuan Harris and probably KJ Adams as well are guaranteed to be back. But, I mean, listen, you got to face the reality of the landscape of college basketball. Everybody has a decision to make, really, every year. And that includes a coaching staff of, you know, hey, we've appreciated this player, but we want to go a different direction and try to bring in somebody more, something more like that, right? So who knows, right? Now, you get the sense, again, guy like DeJuan Harris, guy like KJ Adams going to be back. Hunter Dickinson, I expect back. I don't really have any indication to believe that he won't be back at this point, I don't think. And then you get into the real conversations of guys like Johnny Furphy, Marco Jackson, Jamari McDowell, where really it is more of a, could be more of like a 50-50 type situation, you know, for Furphy going to the NBA draft. For Marco Jackson, you know, the type of season that he had at KU certainly was disappointing compared to probably what he was hoping for and what KU fans were hoping for. Is he somebody that says, hey, you know what, I might need a fresh start somewhere with Jamari McDowell? You know, what's kind of his thought process? And then on top of that, for KU, you're bringing in Floyd Badunga. You're bringing in Marquise Passmore. You're bringing in LeBaron Filon. And you have Liam McNeely kind of still floating out there in the ether, so to speak, where it seems like maybe he might be coming to KU, but it's unclear really at this point. So you have all those moving pieces. And on top of that, you have guys in the transfer portal. And guys in the transfer portal may have different agendas. You know, if a guy's in the portal, it might be a, hey, looking to start, looking to be the guy somewhere, or hey, looking to go to a winning team. Then you have to factor in NIL and how much that impacts, you know, some guys. I mean, listen, the reality situation is some guys are just looking for a payday, right? And that's got to be factored in as well of how you sort of evaluate everything. So again, I've talked about this before, but it's not something that I envy, because there are a lot of decisions that have to be made. And some decisions are out of control of a guy like Bill Self or this coaching staff. Some decisions are. And you just got to figure out and try to navigate that. And I wonder what sort of lessons the staff took from the portal last season. Again, you go out, you get Hunter Dickinson, the number one player in the transfer portal. And by all accounts, he did not disappoint. He was one of the top players in college basketball, second team All-American. But then also you go out and you swing big for Nick Timberlake as to be kind of one of your premier shooters. And you whiff there, right? And really, from the Kansas perspective, you got very lucky that Furphy kind of turned into who he turned into for a little bit there in conference play. Otherwise, this past season for KU might have looked even more rough if he didn't kind of burst onto the scene the way he did and sort of help and step up and become that type of player that you can rely on to shoot a lot of threes. So, you know, you swing and a miss on Nick Timberlake, and obviously a big swing and a big miss on a guy like Arterial Morris. What are the lessons from last year for the staff? Are there lessons that then can be translated? You know, this is a new era of college basketball, and it's not, you know, everybody's kind of learning on the fly of, okay, how, what works, what doesn't? Is there even really a formula for what determines what works and what doesn't? You know, when you're in the portal, is it, you know, is it just the most money gets you the best players, or is it, you know, is there more to it than that? So there's so much to navigate, but certainly the guys that KU seemingly may be interested in, I think Riley Kugel jumps to the top of the list in terms of players that seemingly have the most interest right now. Again, I think AJ Storr is a guy to keep an eye on. You still have Zeke Mayo, of course, a player from South Dakota State, who is a Lawrence native, obviously, that could be an interesting player to return to play close to home for KU. But again, you've also got guys like that with Zeke Mayo, who I think AJ Storr falls in this category as well. Players who are going to be looking at the NBA draft, and the NBA draft process is going to be playing out much slower, which means you could have guys like that that are going to be taking their time and waiting to see where they might end up in terms of, oh, wait a second, I went to the NBA draft and they gave me a pretty good evaluation. Maybe I'm just going to go do that instead of trying to come back to college. So that's all of that continues to float around out there for KU in the transfer portal, and it just raises more questions about the future of this team and about where KU may look, about what KU may look like coming up in 2024 and 2025. I think a lot of people may be clamoring for drastic change, kind of based on how things unfolded for KU. But again, I would maybe hesitate to go that route and hesitate to expect that route to be the route taken. I mean, you could have four starters back realistically for KU with Dickinson, DeJuan, KJ, and even a guy like Johnny Furphy, right? He started, you know, half the season. And El Marco started the other half of the season, so if he comes back, you're going to have a lot of the same players. Which, again, I don't think that is inherently a bad thing if you're able to sort of add a little bit from the transfer portal, and maybe, you know, a guy like Floyd Badunga can provide you some pop off the bench and see what else you get, even maybe if you get like Liam McNeely. So I hesitate to maybe overreact and say, oh, if it ends up being, you know, four starters back, that this is a disaster, it was a failure. I don't know that I go that far, but I do definitely think that KU is probably keeping their options open in terms of, listen, if there's opportunities to go out and get guys that could maybe make a huge impact, I think they're going to do that. And I think that's probably the lesson that I think fans should take from how KU reacted to the transfer portal last season is, listen, Bill Self really did kind of move heaven and earth to get Hunter Dickinson. And he went all in on a guy like Arterial Morris and really went in and swooped on Nick Timberlake, who was fresh off a UConn visit, who might have gone to UConn or North Carolina. So he really was aggressive on some certain guys. And again, I would say you hit with Hunter Dickinson. I mean, again, it's hard to say you missed on a guy like that who ends up being an All-American, a second-team All-American player, one of the top 10, 15 players in the country. But obviously, a couple of big misses in there as well. And that's just kind of how things go. It's the same as when you're recruiting freshmen, right? KU's had some big hits with a guy like Grady Dick. They've had some big misses with guys like MJ Rice. That's just kind of how it goes. And KU will just have to continue to navigate that and see how things unfold for them and who might be departing and who might possibly be coming into the program for KU. All right, let's shift gears here and get to a little bit of KU football talk. Got some audio from quarterback's coach Jim Zabrowski and co-offensive coordinator Jim Zabrowski. That's coming up on the other side. Today is an abbreviated Rock Chalk Sports Talk. You, of course, could have heard KU baseball on our airwaves earlier this afternoon. They're playing a doubleheader against BYU, by the way. If you want to hear the second game, you can head over to the Kansas Jayhawks app and KUathletics.com to hear that second game streaming with Gus Bailo and Brian Haney on the call, as they're probably about to get ready to throw the first pitch for that second game of the doubleheader for KU baseball against BYU. Here on KLWN, we are going to be shifting over to coverage of the NCAA tournament on Westwood One coming up at 5 o'clock. So a very abbreviated RCST today here on KLWN, as we'll be shifting over to Westwood One coverage of the Sweet 16 and the NCAA tournament coming up at 5 o'clock. So only about 30 minutes left in the show today. We will be getting into some KU football talk on the other side here with So I want to get to some audio from quarterbacks coach and co-offensive coordinator Jim Taprowski, who spoke to the media earlier this week, said some interesting things. We'll get to that on the other side. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Hey, it's Nick Springer from Rock Chalk Sports Talk on KLWN. And despite sitting in a studio all day, my body feels great thanks to Massage Envy. Their total body stretch services can help you stay loose and limber and clear your mind and help your body. Their total body stretch services are completely customizable. All you have to do is sit back, relax, and breathe deep while they help you through the guided stretches. So if you've been dealing with aches and pains, be sure to check out Massage Envy on 6th Street in Lawrence and 119th and Black Bob in Olathe.
Half past four here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. You're listening on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Springer. Only about 30 minutes left in the show today, as we will be shifting over to coverage of the NCAA tournament on Westwood One coming up here on KLWN at 5 o'clock for the second round of Sweet 16 matchups. You'll be able to hear more of Westwood One's coverage as well here on KLWN tomorrow and Sunday of the Elite Eight matchups as well in the NCAA tournament. And also, if you are looking for KU baseball, they played their first game of a doubleheader earlier today. You could have heard that game right here on KLWN. Game two of that doubleheader starting roughly around right now or here soonish. But that game will be streaming only. If you want to hear it with Gus Bailo, Brian Haney on the call, check out the Kansas Jayhawks app and KU Athletics streaming online, as we'll be switching over on KLWN here to coverage of Westwood One and the NCAA tournament right here on KLWN. So spring football continues to roll along for Kansas football, and the one of the big stories of this spring so far, or one of the bigger stories from last season, you think back, is Jalen Daniels and what his status will be for KU football. He's been pretty active in practices so far and throwing the ball and looking pretty good so far in some of the sessions that the media has had a chance to see, kind of what he's been doing. Seems pretty active. And, of course, for Kansas, the storylines in the quarterback room don't stop there, because you don't have Jason Bean anymore, right, as sort of that parachute fallback plan like you did last season. But you do have a guy in Cole Ballard who really performed quite admirably when he was called upon last season when Jason Bean was dealing with injuries. But then, of course, for Kansas as well, they have one of the quarterbacks of the future, possibly, as he's being dubbed, which is Isaiah Marshall, who has enrolled early at KU as well. And seems like a highly touted recruit, a guy that won a state title in the state of Michigan in high school and has enrolled early for Kansas and is on campus. I got a chance to catch up with him and Cole Ballard. We're going to get to that audio probably on Monday, because right now I do want to hear from Jim Zabrowski, the quarterback's coach and co-offensive coordinator for KU football. He had a chance to speak with the media earlier in the week talking about Jalen Daniels, talking about Isaiah Marshall and Cole Ballard and more. Here is what co-offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach Jim Zabrowski had to say, speak with the media earlier this week.
All right, just when it comes to Isaiah and getting him as an early enrollee, how beneficial can that be for him, and what have you seen from him so far?
Tremendously beneficial, especially where our situation in terms of being able to get reps for him. It's been awesome. I mean, he's a really high level of intelligence for a young kid, like be a player, to be able to pick stuff up. Because obviously, offense is still a little complex, and a lot of guys come from no-huddle situations. And I used to read wristbands and all that stuff, so it's been really fun watching him. It's been huge, tremendously beneficial, and he's gotten a ton of reps, so it's been awesome. It's been really good.
Skill set-wise, for people that haven't watched him before, just how would you describe
him? A little bit Jalen-like. You're never going to put that, like, it's not unfair to say that, but in terms of that, he's fast. Like, he's a 10-900 kid in high school, somewhere in that ballpark. So not Jason Bean fast, because that's really, really fast. But very fast. Jalen's got a little more twitch, a little more suddenness to him, learn like that. Isaiah came in like 207 or 209, so a thicker type kid. A quick release, gets the ball out fast, can make pretty quick decisions, can make plays with his feet. So that's where kind of those similarities are. Jalen's more loose, you know, kind of like loose and all over and so on. But arm strength is really good for a young kid, so that's why kind of like in that ballpark, that type of skill set, I guess. And different, but that the skill set's kind of in the ballpark.
What do you tell a kid like that? You know, he's obviously got Jalen here, and then Cole's done some things here too. What do you tell him about setting goals for year one and things like that?
This is going to be hard. You always want to say, well, you don't come to someplace not to play, right? You don't come and say, I hope I go there and never not play. So you kind of want to say, get that expectation that you want to play, do whatever you can to play. Because, like, some people used to say stuff like, hey, in the recruiting process, don't go there because they have two quarterbacks. Well, everybody does. Like, you're going to go, you're going to compete everywhere he goes. I think that's one of those deals where I never said to a kid, well, come here, you can play earlier. Come here, we only got one. You're going, or don't come because there's, no. Every year, most schools are going to recruit a quarterback in every class. So you tell them, set high expectations. Don't just keep on taking each play for what it's worth. You know, play at a time, one moment at a time, and see what happens.
Coach, with Jalen, is he able to move around a little more?
Yes, been fun. He's done a really good job. So he got him, he was moving him in a perfect pace. It's been fun. It's good to see him out there. It's fun to see him actually throwing football again. So that's the fun part. So it's been really good. Really excited to have him. So he's very, well, you guys all know how he is mentally too, really picks stuff up fast. So it's fun to have him out there and be able to go through everything. Whether he gets the rep live or not, he's still getting the rep. So learning the offense is huge.
How do you feel like the quarterbacks as a whole are adapting to Coach Grimes and his system?
Really good. I think it's been good. I think the thing is they know me, so there's zero. They don't have to adapt to that. They know who I am and how I am. And then Grimes been good. He's kind of said, Z, I trust you and believe in you. Go ahead, go coach him. We'll add some stuff in. Tell me what you think they can and can't do. And I'm one of those guys that, just like I told you before, Andy, I'm like, I don't want to ever tell a coordinator, you can't do that because the quarterback can't. I hope they can do it. Whatever you want, let your imagination go and I'll let it go. So they've adapted really well. I think he's really good personality-wise for them. So it's been fun.
And what about your own relationship with him and kind of your co-offense?
It's been awesome. It's been really fun. You know, because I think it's unique. It's always scary. Like, he's the new one coming in, and we've all kind of been there. And the offense is going to stay kind of as is, obviously. But it's been a great, it's been really fun to meet him because I heard so much about him and then be able to coach with him and his knowledge. I always say this, here's what I've always said. It was great with Coach K, and I love Andy, and it's been awesome. And then we do a good job as a team. And then when he leaves, you hope the program keeps growing. Someone else new comes in, they usually add something to it. So that's what's really cool. It's awesome what we've done. Now you get a new guy, new boys. He's been in some great schools and great places, coached some really good, you know, offenses, and then you can add to it. That's it's been kind of exhilarating too. For I kind of add some new things. Oh, that's a good idea, and then you get a different view sometimes. Sometimes you haven't seen. Oh, that's a good idea, a good thought. So it's been great.
What does Jalen need to do, not recovery wise, but developmentally wise, to take his game to the next level?
I think it's been a while since I've seen him play, and that's sad to say. I'm trying to think that stuff. I always tell him to keep making great decisions, to keep working on the decision-making process and keep figuring out what you can and can't get away with because you're so talented, and being able to know when you can go for it and cannot go for it and kind of make that, I think that's always that last step. I always tell them this, I go, the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Josh Allen, Mahomes, they all push that line and they figure out what they can and can't get away with. And the great ones learn what they can't get away with before the game's actually played. And they don't make that, but you got to try some things. So keep trying to see what you can and can't do, and then hopefully keep minimizing the turnovers and all that stuff. But I thought he did a pretty good job.
Snapping under center is something that Coach Grimes talked about.
Yes.
Doing a little bit of, just for each quarterback's coach, like, how does that change what you coach the guys?
I'm right in, man. I'm Minnesota. That's all I was. Man. Not all. We did a lot of it. So I've done a lot of it. From where I've been. But Minnesota with Coach Kill, we were kind of more under initially, then became pistol and gun in a mixture. So it's easy to coach it. So it's easy to combine that, not be like, hey, I've done that thing for like 10 years, like, whoa, and so on. So it's been kind of fun to add to it. It's more stuff to do individually wise to kind of work the footwork. It's so much fun to do the footwork wise. And then I always say this, the guys who ever want the potential of the next level, a lot of those teams still do a multitude of under and pistol and gun. So that's been really fun to kind of say, hey, we're going to keep helping you build as an overall quarterback. So it does take a little bit of time, but they really get excited about it. They see you. And then it helps with, we all know that you go under center, it helps with the play action stuff. And everybody always says, pistol gun is not as much play action as under. So you always wonder why the NFL guys are still, a lot of them go under a lot because so many colleges aren't. But it's the play action element and being able to do some different things in the run game to help us. That's been really fun. It's been really good.
We talked to Lance earlier. He mentioned Mikey Pauley as a guy to watch.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him?
Good. And, you know, you guys know Mike's been a Casey kid, and they won a state championship. And he's a multiple sport kid. I tell you, you guys all know him, baseball and football kid. So it's been fun to watch his progress because when you go to college as a 50 baseball and football, well, you're not putting all into it yet. So you're losing the spring in Nebraska or whatever, you know, playing baseball, however that goes. Then you come here, decide I'm going to do this. Then all of a sudden coordinator changes all the stuff and takes a little bit of time to get it off. So I think he's finally settling in and figuring out, hey, this is what I want to do. And the big thing for him is just he's got a live arm and he's athletic and strong. He's a big kid. Just to stay loose and not overthink things. He young guys do sometimes overthink and try too hard and to be too perfect instead of just go play. I've seen a lot of fun things. He's on the move, has been really fun to watch. And that's just really good because he's an athlete. He's a big kid that's athletic too that can move. So it's been really fun.
Coach mentioned Cole's aggressiveness. Is that similar to what you're talking about with Jalen? Just finding where to walk that line. You don't want to shoot it down, but
that's a good way to say it. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? Coach, you want. But in practice, you have to live. I've always said this. It's not easy. Sometimes I feel bad for Lance sometimes or for Grimey because sometimes like you kind of have to let them take chances to see what they can and can't do. Yeah. So you're not gonna lose. Like I've always said, I'm not losing practice. Like I don't think our defense is on our schedule, right, for our offense to play. So we're not going to lose a practice. I think every rep you gain something. Like there's never a bad rep in practice. Now the result's not always good. We all know that in terms of, that would have been bad. But it's not a game. That's the only way you learn sometimes. So yeah, sometimes trying to do too much because he is such. And I think as you guys talk, you probably just hear him and his dad too. They're such ultra competitive people, and he's so ultra. But like dude, you got to turn. Hey, let's say you bobble a snap. Don't try to hand. Like it's over. Let's minimize the damage. Let's move on. You can't always go and make a bad play better. Sometimes the bad plays, but don't make it worse. So it is. And sometimes you see something like, can I make that throw? And you learn, like, well, no, you can't. But you can't know until you try it. So that's what's fun. So, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Is that how you would prefer to have it, though? Have to reel them in rather than get them going?
You'd much rather have them go that way, you know, and that stuff. And so it's a little bit like, well, you know, Jason was too sometimes. Like, there was some, whoa, and you kept real, and then all of a sudden, after a while, you're like, hey, we're pretty good. So it's fun. But yeah, it's easy. It's me. I'm like, man, that's how you learn.
All right, that was quarterbacks coach and conference coordinator Jim Zabrowski there giving some insight about the state of the quarterback room for KU. Had a couple funny comments there at the end talking about reeling guys in and figuring out if guys can make certain throws and whatnot. And you know, I think it makes a lot of sense, right? If you're in spring ball, if you're in practice, it's the time to maybe try to take some more risks and see what you can and can't do versus in a game, which he touched on there. Also had some interesting things to say, of course, about Isaiah Marshall and sort of his development coming in to the program. I think KU fans will certainly, their ears should perk up and should get some excitement when you hear something like, oh, he's very Jalen-like, because Jalen Daniels has certainly, when he's been playing, has been very, very effective for KU. So I think Isaiah Marshall seems like he's in a position where he definitely can succeed, right? I mean, this is kind of what you want to be. This is kind of the position you want to be in if you're KU, which is you've got this guy who has come in and seemingly it seems like he might be poised to become that next quarterback for KU, but there's no rush. There's no rush to bring him in, right? You have a year. You have a year with a guy like Jalen Daniels in front of him. And even a guy like Cole Ballard, who I think is oft overlooked. But, I mean, listen, like I said, he played really well when he was in last season when he was called upon. And I think should serve as an adequate backup quarterback for Kansas this season should anything happen. But, yeah, that's really the positive is that you don't expect Isaiah Marshall to come in right away. He has some time. There's not a lot of pressure on him to be that type of player, that type of quarterback right away for Kansas, which I think is really great to hear. And it's great to hear, obviously, that he does have some of those Jalen-like tendencies as well. So Jim Zabrowski there giving some great insight overall into the state of KU's quarterback room and sort of his thoughts and the relationship between him and Jeff Grimes as well. That was interesting, right, with Jeff Grimes coming in and saying, hey, you know, listen, you know, figure out what we can do and we'll go from there. The one thing to keep an eye on, I think, as we progress through spring ball and into the fall camp really especially is, and I think one of the things with the offense to keep an eye on in terms of the change from Kolnicki to Jeff Grimes is going to be what KU does under center. And if they do more of under center type stuff with their quarterbacks and what they feel comfortable doing under center, how do they utilize it? And is it something that they try to implement? Because that is something that Jeff Grimes has used quite a bit. Jeff Grimes himself talked about how, hey, listen, when you're under center, you can do a lot more things in terms of play action and whatnot. That's why you see a lot of NFL teams still do it that way and utilize that because you can do a lot of different concepts out of it. So I'll be curious to see how much Kansas shows of that, if any, over the course of like spring ball and into the spring showcase, and then how much really in fall camp as well leading into the start of the season next season of what that looks like for KU and how much they want to try to use that under center type stuff. All right, we'll take a timeout here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Just about 10 minutes left in the show here. We'll take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll have some thoughts on the NCAA tournament from last night, looking ahead to tonight as well. And, of course, coming up, we're going to be switching over to coverage of the NCAA tournament tonight with Westwood One starting at 5 o'clock right here, so in a little over 15 minutes from right now. So we'll have some more thoughts on the NCAA tournament coming up on the other side before we get into Westwood One coverage on a much shorter edition of Rock Chalk Sports Talk on this Friday. You're listening on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. Welcome back into Rock Chalk Sports Talk here on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Springer. Short show here today as we're going to be out in just a few minutes for pregame coverage of the NCAA tournament on Westwood One right here on KLWN for more coverage of the Sweet 16 coming up tonight. And we know half the teams are going to be in the Elite Eight after last night's four games, and it started with Clemson beating Arizona. And Caleb Love for Arizona, man, honestly, that last night, that was kind of the storyline, was guys who over the course of the season had been big-time scorers and big-time shot makers were not for some teams. And Caleb Love and RJ Davis were the two ones that jumped out. Caleb Love for Arizona really struggled against Clemson in the game. He goes 0 of 9 from 3, 5 of 18 from the floor as Arizona loses against Clemson. And for Arizona, man, their struggles continue in the NCAA tournament and in March. And I think Tommy Lloyd is a name, a coaching name that I think for some KU fans would maybe be a guy that you might be interested in as the next coach at Kansas. But I don't know. With some of the struggles he's having in March, maybe not, as they lose against Clemson. And listen, I don't mean to disrespect Clemson. I don't think Clemson is a bad team. But obviously they are one of the lowest seeded teams remaining in the NCAA tournament besides NC State. And I think certainly Arizona was expected to win. But listen, Arizona, this is kind of who they've been all season long, is they have games where when they're on their game, they look like one of the top teams in the country. But then they have other games like this against Clemson where if their top guys aren't hitting shots, they struggle. And so I think a lot of credit does need to go to Clemson for pulling off the win. P.J. Hall, Hunter is a great player. Chase Hunter had a really, really strong game for Clemson to help them win, and P.J. Hall as well. And Shefflin, I saw some Chef hats in the stands for Clemson as they got the win. But, yeah, impressive performance from Clemson. And listen, as much as everyone wanted to talk about, oh, the ACC sucks, the ACC is so bad, Clemson's going to the Elite Eight. Duke obviously has a chance to do it tonight against Houston, although North Carolina did lose last night. And, North Carolina, that North Carolina-Alabama game was – maybe one of the best games of the tournament, close to the best game of the tournament at this point. When you think about how that game unfolded, a really, really crazy game. I thought early that maybe Alabama, with their lack of defense, was maybe just going to get kind of dog walked. I thought North Carolina might just blow them out of the water, but the firepower of Alabama kept them in the game. Sears, I think, is a great player, a really, really quality player, the guard for Bama, a really tough player. And then, of course, Grant Nelson just kind of took things over down the stretch for Alabama. He was the difference maker, a transfer from North Dakota State, a guy that I think even probably KU had some interest in, one of the more highly touted players in the transfer portal was Grant Nelson, and he really, really took the game over late for Alabama. 24 total points to go along with 12 rebounds. He was 2 of 2 from 3, and he's a guy that wasn't really much of a shooter, to be honest, but he knocked down a couple of big-time shots, was good at the free throw line as well, and helped Alabama pull off the win over North Carolina. And I had some serious reservations about Alabama. I put Alabama in a similar category that I thought Baylor fell into, which is, yeah, okay, great offense with some really good skill players, but what if the defense or lack thereof comes back to bite them, and that's why they lose? But and it didn't. It with Baylor, kind of the opposite happened when they played Clemson. Their offensive guys really struggled, but in this game, I thought maybe Bama's defense would come back to bite them, but Nelson was great. And Bama was able to play some good defense down the stretch and get a huge win to move through to the Elite Eight. And I think for North Carolina, some serious questions probably for their future, right? I mean, Hubert Davis, I think, has had some good talent. I don't know that I would necessarily call him a great coach, though. I mean, this year you had a guy like Armando Bacot plus R.J. Davis, who, again, R.J. Davis, he ends up with 16 points in the game for North Carolina, but he goes 0 of 9 from 3 and 4 of 20 from the floor, of course, for one of the top players in the country, really, for him to kind of go out that way for North Carolina. So, yeah, I think North Carolina does have a lot of question marks heading into next season and going forward. And then I don't even really know if I want to talk about UConn, man. UConn-San Diego State, it was just a demolition. I was hoping that San Diego State would have put up a little bit more resistance than that, but North UConn just absolutely just destroyed them down the stretch. It was a bit of a tough game to watch, depending on how much you watched it. Newton goes off. Cam Spencer had a great game as well for UConn. And I don't know. I'm kind of viewed it as more UConn versus the field. I know maybe some people think there might be some other teams that have chances, but I don't know. Although I will say, a team that I do think might have a chance against UConn is Illinois. I think Illinois, with their scoring firepower, they may have a chance. Possibly. I mean, Terrence Shannon has another huge game. And, of course, Terrence Shannon does have a little bit of a legal issue that he's dealing with that happened in Lawrence. But he sued the University of Illinois, I think, in order to play. And so that's why he's playing. And for Illinois fans, it's been great because he's going off, but certainly dealing with that. But he had 29 points for Illinois against Iowa State. And he looks like one of the top players in the NCAA tournament right now. And I think Illinois may have a little bit of enough firepower possibly to challenge UConn. But I mean, at this point, I'm just going to blindly pick UConn until somebody knocks them off. And I don't even know if that's going to happen, really. When you look at the games coming up tonight, you got NC State taking on Marquette, and North Carolina State really the last team of sort of having a Cinderella run for NC State, taking on a Marquette squad that I don't want to wish success on Shaka Smart, so I'll definitely be pulling for DJ Burns and NC State in that one. Gonzaga and Purdue is certainly an interesting matchup as well. I wonder for Purdue if they still feel the pressure of some of their past failures in March, or if maybe just getting to the Sweet 16 is maybe relieve them of some of that and they play a little bit more free. I don't know, because I do think Gonzaga is a dangerous team against Purdue. And then you also have Duke and Houston coming up as well later tonight, which that one, Houston already banged up heading into the tournament. Excuse me. Dealing with more injuries also in the tournament, but you wonder if the way in which they survived the game against Texas A&M, if that doesn't sort of ignite them for the run here to the Final Four, or if maybe it took too much out of them and Duke is able to capitalize on that. And then Creighton, Tennessee is the nightcap. I think certainly should be a fun game when you get Dalton Connect, Baylor Shireman as well, with Kalkbrenner down low as well for Creighton. So that's maybe the game that I'm most intrigued by, I think, of the slate for tonight with Creighton and Tennessee. I'm picking NC State because I don't want to pick Shaka Smart and Marquette. I think Gonzaga gets it done against Purdue. I think Gonzaga gets it done. And I also think Duke gets it done against Houston. And I think Tennessee will take care of business against Creighton. Those are my picks for tonight for the teams making it to the Elite Eight. And as I said, we're going to have coverage of that coming up next right here on KLWN through Westwood One. And we'll have coverage from Westwood One on KLWN throughout the weekend of the Elite Eight, both tomorrow and Sunday, before we see who will be going to the Final Four next weekend. That does it for today's edition of Rock Chalk Sports Talk. A short show because we had KU Baseball on the airwaves earlier this afternoon that ended around 4, and then we'll be switching over to Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament coming up here in just a few minutes. So a short show on this Friday, and thanks so much for tuning in. And, of course, if you missed anything from earlier in the week, you can check that out on the Best of RCSD podcast. If you missed anything from earlier in today's show, some audio from Jim Zabrowski, some talk for KU basketball on the transfer portal, check that out on the Best of RCSD podcast. Anywhere you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. Weather's looking fantastic, by the way, so get outside, enjoy it. I know I will be. I'll talk to you on Monday with all the latest in the world of sports and the world of KU as well, coming up on Monday. We'll be back on Monday, 3 to 6, right here on RCST on FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Until then, have a great weekend. See ya.
Well, that's it here on the podcast side, here on the Best of RCST podcast. Thanks so much for listening in. And, of course, if you do want to hear the full show, you can listen every day, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, for Rock Chalk Sports Talk, your only daily KU-centric sports radio show that you'll find every day from 3 to 6 on KLWN. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Thanks so much for listening to the Best of RCSD podcast presented by Massage Envy. You can also find us on KUSports.com as well. Be sure to check out the live show every day from 3 to 6 on KLWN. Thanks for listening.